You know that it says the word Hayoim appears very often in the Torah concerning Kabbalah Satora. In the last week's parsha also, Hayoim. So it says that Bechol Yoim you beinecho kemechudoshim. So I once heard that it's not just a drush. You know, if you have to feel as if it's new, you actually, you're obligated to find new angles, especially when you teach Torah.
The angles?
How do you say angles in Hebrew? Especially, let's say, if you have the same audience over and over, if you're a rabbi, you're bound to have some balebatim with tremendous memories. It always happens. It doesn't fail. And there is always somebody who is going to say, oh, you said that like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So you have to find new angles. And sometimes it gets pretty difficult to find new angles, especially when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and you have to give out many shiurim or Rosh Hashanah. It's crucial to find angles. And of course, it has to be something that you feel comfortable with. It can't be just something that you see somewhere. You have to feel comfortable with it. So I'd like to tell you over a few of these new angles, I would say, in concerning the subjects Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah. Not the classical things, but things that are take chidushim, big chidushim. Especially the first one I'm going to tell you, I found that the conclusion of the chidush, if you apply it lemaise, it's very important, because it's a yesoid in chinuch, what I'm going to tell you now. So let's start it with the kashe. It says, I'm reading here from Tov Kuf Pei Dalet in Shulchan Aruch. In the Mechaber starts Ein Omrim Hallel for Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. The Ramo adds V'Noi Hagim Loimer Avinu Malkeinu Al HaSeder. So what does it mean to be Mechadesh, the Ramo, Al HaSeder? He comes Le'afuke, that you shouldn't say like those that skip one of the Avinu Malkeinus. What is it? Le'afuke, says the Mishneh Berurah, Al HaSeder, Le'afuke Medasa Beis Yosef. He comes to tell you not to pasken like the Beis Yosef. That what? Shemedalgin Bechol Mokem Shemaskir Chet. Since there is a halacha that you are not allowed to say Viduyon Rosh Hashanah, not allowed to say Vidui Rosh Hashanah, so you have to skip every single mention of sin. So how can you say Yuladidei Eino Imrim Ovinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lefonecho? So you can say the Ovinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lefonecho, you have to skip it. If you have to skip it, then you can call it Al HaSeder. Or in the Shari Tshuva, it brings down, according to the Shitas HaBeis Yosef, that you are not allowed to say Yovinu Malkinu Chotonu Lefonecho. So the same thing would be Slachumcha Lechol Avoinai Seinu. You would have to skip Slachumcha, meaning there would be a lot of the Yovinu Malkinu that you would have to skip, because there is a mention of Vidui, of confessions. You're not allowed to confess in Rosh Hashanah. So here he brings down in brackets why, what could be the reason. I mean, obviously it bothers him not to say Vidui in Rosh Hashanah. Why aren't you allowed to say Vidui in Rosh Hashanah? I mean, we know that Vidui is the Yesoid. I mean, that is the Tachlis of Tshuva, is the Vidui, as we are going to see in the Rambam. Vidui is the mitzvah. It's not just it's something added. Vidui is the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah of Tshuva is to be able to put it into words, to verbalize your Tshuva. This is what the mitzvah is. Everything else is a preparation for the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself, according to the Rambam, as you are going to see, is vidui. So the whole Chodesh Elul, or let's say from Sliches on, what was the purpose of Sliches? To prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So where is the seichel? What would be the justification for not saying vidui on Rosh Hashanah? I mean, the Iker of Sliches is the vidui, Yoshamnu Bagano, and the Yud Gimel Mides, which is part of the process of tshuve, of vidui. But comes Rosh Hashanah, I reach the goal, and then I don't say vidui. So he adds in brackets, Kedei sheloilite in pischo in pela mekatrek, because we find Rosh Hashanah an inyan. Don't give ammunition to the Sotim. And by being misvade, by confessing, you are giving ammunition to the Sotim. Now he knows the truth. Right? Like this, you may fool him. You may make him think that you are a tzaddik. But now that you don't, but if you would say vidui, then he will know what you are. And you know, you shouldn't tell the Sotim what you really are. Now, the explanation requires more of an explanation. I mean, obviously, Sheloi Litem Pischo in Pele Soten is a concept that even requires an explanation concerning, the Inyan, for instance, don't blow shofar the day before Rosh Hashanah, right? On Sunday, we don't blow shofar. Why? In order to mix up the Soten. What does it really mean? What's behind this concept to mix up the Sotin? Is he a dumb Sotin? He can't figure out by himself. What is the idea behind it? So, concerning that Leval Belesa Sotin, so it says clearly that really there is a halachic reason why you don't blow shofar on the day before Rosh Hashanah, in order to make a differentiation between tkiyas the minhag, tkiyas the reshus, which is the tkiyas in Chodesh Elul, and tkiyas the Rosh Hashanah is a chiyuv. Because many ignorant people, if you blow shofar the whole Chodesh Elul, and then comes Rosh Hashanah and you just blow more, people may think, oh, it's one long thing. Now that erev Rosh Hashanah you don't blow shofar, so they'll ask, how come you stop? So you tell him, because the minhag stopped. So when he hears the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah morning, and then he will ask, how come we blow today? So they'll tell him, oh, today it's a mitzvah deraisa. Okay, so this is the halachic reason. So besides the halachic reason, so we give an extra reason. To leval belesasot, in order that the Sotin shouldn't be mekatred you. What's the idea? The idea is that you should be aware that there is a Sotin, meaning that we make simoni on Rosh Hashanah in order to become aware that there is a Sotin, there is a mekatred, and we have to overcome the mekatred. It's as if we have to realize that there are certain koiches that are going to prosecute us, and we have to build a good defense for ourselves. So in order to create that awareness, so they created this concept of le'arve v'esato asotin, le'val be'les asotin. In other words, it's not actually that the sotin is foolish. It's to make us aware of his existence.
What is this whole concept in going a bit deeper of the fact that it's a sotin and it's going to be in the country and all this? I mean, Kosh Baruch Hu knows everything. Anyway, I mean, what is it necessary that should really
have a different problem? Yeah, that's a complicated issue. The koyach of the Sotin, it's a very subtle concept that the Ramban talks about it. The Ramban talks about it concerning Seira Mishtaleya. Incredible. Which means like this, that there is actually koyches hora in the world that have actual independence. Very difficult concept. They actually are independent koiches. It's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them independence. Of course, Chas v'Shalom, we're not talking Chas v'Shalom about the Shtei Rishuyos, right? But we are saying that The way it worked out since the Chet of Adam Rishon is that there should be independent koiches around the world, that man has to deal with it, and not always with God will God be on your side. It's an incredible thing. Hashem is Borah, set up your relationship with the koiches hara in such a way that very often you have to deal with it and he keeps aside from it. It's a tremendous Ramban on Sira Mishtaleach saying, you know what is the essence of the Sira Mishtaleach in Yom Kippur? Remember, this is a famous Ramban. It's to bribe the koiches hara, to bribe the koiches of Esav, the koiches of the Sotin, the Seir. The Seir is the symbol of Esav. Esav is the embodiment of the Mekatreg in the world. Esav is the Sotin, right? Who are Sotin, who Malchamoves, who are Yetzirah, who Esav. It's all the same. So the Seir, you know, the Seir is the animal which represents Esav, is a bribe to those koiches. So as the Ramban, wait a second, that's Avoy Dezorah Chas V'Sholem, right? I mean, so he says, no, it's not Avoy Dezorah. If this is the way Hashem sets up the world, that you have to deal with the Koiches Hara as if it's an independent Koyach, then it's not Avoy Dezorah, right? I mean, if the Ribbono Shalom tells you to do something, then it's not Avoy Dezorah. Okay, he gives the example. If you serve a minister against the wishes of the king, then you are creating a second koyach, a competition against the king. But if the king tells you to serve the minister, right, the Ramban says it, so then it's not a lack of respect to the king. So he says, even though it looks like avoid the Zorah Chas V'Sholem, it's not at all. This is the way Hashem wants you to do it. Which means, I mean, the implications are incredible of this Ramban. That there are independent koiches hara that you have to deal with, and by bringing the bribe, right, you are bribing the koyach of ra in the world. You are bribing Satan. That's the idea of Sira Mishtaleach. You are bribing him. You know what it's supposed to do to you, to recognize that you are the one that gave him the koyach. And I was to take on the responsibility. Otherwise, why would we have to bribe him? In order to realize that we have the responsibility of that independence of his, which means that we make the Sotan independent when we became sinners, when we, that was Odom Orishon, that's we in the body of Odom Orishon, we gave power to the Sotan, that the Sotan now is an independent being that we have to deal with him. And very often the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyochol looks aside and says, oh, what a terrible thing the Sultan is doing to my children. But he won't intervene. Incredible thing. Who ties his hands? We. Because we, you know, through our chatoim, like, kaviyochul, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't do anything. He looks up, he looks at it, he hurts, but he allows the Sultan to become independent. That's the idea of Kitur Gasol.
I find that concept very hard to say about the Mises. It's very similar to the concept where people say, you know, yes, he created the world, but now he's sitting back and leaving the world to go over.
That's for sure. You see that there is a tremendous difference. The difference is, again, I mean, the Ramban talks about it concerning all nature caused tragedies. Now, where do they come from? And men make catastrophes. Man, so men did it. I mean, it's his bechira. Even so, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to give independence for men to do things against his will, right? Which, by the way, he did. In other words, it's an incredible concept. I mean, there is a relationship between the independence of men and the independence of the Sotan. Would you say, for instance, that if somebody, according to the his destiny or whatever, is according to what is supposed to happen, is not supposed to die, can somebody shoot him and kill him? The first reaction is, of course not. I mean, it's not supposed to be. It's not going to happen. So you know that the Amek Dovor is an incredible chidush. Did anybody ever see the Amek Dovor by Yosef? Why the brothers threw him into the pit instead of killing him? Because they thought he was Chaim Misa.
But to see if he would die.
Why?
To see if he would die.
See if he would be killed.
Yeah.
Which means that if he's not going to die, he's the haraya that is innocent. What about if they would try to kill him? You hear them? I mean, the Almeidor speaks it out. What about if they would have tried to kill him? He's chayev mitzvah, so kill him. If he's innocent, God won't allow it. He may be innocent, and he's not supposed to die, but my bechire can overweigh what's supposed to happen. Of course he has. Of course that we are not saying that Hashem is Borach can't intervene even to stop that, but he won't.
But doesn't say that even the blade of grass like move or whatever is Elohim can mix on the
sure. Sure. But what it means is that ultimately if the Ribbono Shlom doesn't want, then of course it's not gonna happen. Which means ultimately, everything depends on the Rotzen Hashem.
So what do we mean Rotzen Hashem?
But you're the nafkamina between the ultimate Rotzen Hashem and his Rotzen not to put in his Rotzen. That's also a Rotzen, but you're the difference. You know, it's the same thing, you know, I told you the Maram Shif, how he explains Toisves Kashe. It's also to walk by a Koisel Ro'ua. You're not allowed to walk by a koisa roua, says the Astoisves, Memonisha. If he's supposed to die, then even if he doesn't walk by a koisa roua, he's going to die. And if he's not supposed to die, the koisa roua won't kill him. Right? So the Maram Shif is masbir like this. He says, depends. Maybe he's not supposed to die. But maybe he doesn't have enough zechuyos that the Ribbono Shalom should intervene, which is there is such a matzav as the Ribbono Shalom looking without intervening, with his power to intervene, which means his choice is not to intervene. So ultimately, it depends on his rotzoin. But we have to be mechalik between direct rotzoin or a rotzoin not to intervene, which is also his rotzoin. But can you say that it's his rotzoin that the man should die because the wall will fall on him? You can say, no, that's not the rotzoin Hashem. But obviously, he has to have a rotzoin not to intervene. That much, of course, he has. But that's his choice. That was the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyochol chooses not to intervene, and that is his ultimate rotzoin. This is why it's correct to say that everything that happens in the world is ultimately his rotzoin, but it may not be directly his rotzoin. In other words, if somebody is killed by the weak wall, it's not necessarily the rotzoin Hashem in a direct way, but in an ultimate way. That's what the Maram Shif says.
Where is the
Maram Shif? The Maram Shif is in Bobekame, where the Gemara said by Akul Bidei Shomayim. There is among the many places, the one is in Bobekame. Right? You think the Chov, where is the Akol Yishanchus in Hashemayim? The Chovs? There's one in Broches. There is no Maram Shif in Broches. But it's also in Bobekame, and it's also in Ksuvis. But I think it's in Bobekame. The Maram Shif is in Bobekame. But it's in one, I think it's in three places in Shatsk. Akol Yishanchus Chutzmi Hashemayim. Wherever there's a Maram Shif, it's right there. I think it's in Bobekame.
And is this anything to do with the Shach of Fortis and
Shach of Kolis? Of course, it's related to it. It's related to this idea. Yeah.
Justice has the same idea about the kind of Hevel, that there's Rashi brings down the Chazal, the Bukha, the Tviya, and kind of called the Me'achicha, and so came in Adama. So, yeah, so they also mean Manashach. If Chaim is going to kill Hevel, so there wasn't going to be any doming of all the Doire Doire supposed to come from him. So the cloud was the time over there. So he says, good, but the same thing, that Keshbochu, Kaviyochu, whatever, he, the decision not to kill or not to kill Chaim, he left the Bechira, to kill Hevel was left to the Bechira of Chaim.
Right.
That was the Rots. So that there was a Tzad, he shouldn't be killed, and therefore.
Sure, sure. Of course. I mean, that's really the shaile of yesh brera and ein brera, the halachic shaile, whether yes brayer and ain't brayer is exactly the shaila. You see, otherwise we are going off the subject, but it's such an important idea. The tzad of yesh brayro is an incredible tzad. Listen to this. I'm coming Erev Shabbos, right? I don't have time to take miser on the wine that I have, right? So what do I say? Whatever is going to be left over from this wine should be the trumos, miseris, and everything, right? Whatever I leave over. So the one that says yesh brayro, it's no problem. Whatever you drink and whatever you leave over is retroactively the miser, right? So yesh brayro is poshet. What does the man de Omar who says ein brayro says hold? Ein brayro says Rashi on the spot right there. The shemo, because it could be that you are drinking that which was supposed to be left over. Now, do you grasp this idea? In other words, you made something miser. What did you make miser? Whatever Moitzei Shabbos will be left over. So you should be able to drink the wine, right? Because whatever you are drinking now is definitely not going to be left over. True? So how can Rashi say perhaps what you are drinking is that what was supposed to be left over?
Because it's all mixed. It's all mixed now.
What do you mean mixed? But whatever is going to be left over can be mixed because it wasn't left over yet.
Right.
You understand? Oh, I am drinking it. You understand what I'm saying? How can you say that? So, the Hesber is exactly this Hashkof is the Hesber, what you're saying in the name of Rav Tesler. Because how things are supposed to be, right? That only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. How things are supposed to be can constantly be changed through the Bechiras Ha'odom. Since man has Bechire, right? What was supposed to be normal human behavior is that this wine should be left over Moitzei Shabbos. But I'm constantly changing it because I'm constantly using my Bechire. How do we know how I use my Bechire? How do I know that instead I was supposed to drink such a kos yain and then I became a machmir and I took a chazonishes kos? So therefore this wine that was supposed to be left over, it's the same idea, meaning there are things that are supposed to be, and when the Ribbono Shel Olam considers things that are supposed to be, he does not take in consideration Bechiras Ha'odom. He himself is mitzamtzem himself not to be affected by Bechiras Ha'odom. That's exactly it. Is Hevel supposed to have descendants? Sure he's supposed to. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a world in which Cain can have a choice not to kill Hevel, so of course Hevel is supposed to have descendants. Lemaise, Cain chose to kill Hevel. That doesn't affect how the world is supposed to be, because the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyochol gave Cain independence. Kaviyochol. Lehavdul, the Sodom is the same idea. The Ribbono Shel Olam chooses to give the Sodom independence. And we have to deal with him. And we have to recognize that we feed the independence of the Sotan. That's the biggest responsibility. Who makes the Sotan independent? We feed him. By our avoinos, we feed him. Okay? So therefore, we have to bribe the Sotan to become aware of that. That's what the Ramban says. And no question about it, that's the idea of Le'arve Vesat Sotan. Be aware that there is a Sotan with independent powers, right? Be careful with him. But when you come back to this idea of don't say vidui, there is, when do we use this vore le'arvev esasotun? When we have a halachic basis, then we use le'arvev esasotun to be like to as an added thing. It's just to become aware of the irvuv asotun. But here we are going to change such an important halacha of vidui, which is the Yesoid of Tshuva, that I'm going to read you the Rambam, that without Vidui you weren't Mekayim the mitzvah of Tshuva, and we are going to take it out in order to satisfy this idea of Sheloi, Sheloi Lekatrek. It's so unreasonable that obviously we have to search for the reason behind the reason. What's really the reason why you are not allowed to say Vidu Yom Rosh Hashanah? Okay? So, if you take a look, let me read you the Rambam concerning the essence of tshuva. First of all, in the Minui HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Achasi, Sheyoshuv Achoite Mecheto Lifnei Hashem VeYisvadeh, which means that the mitzvah is not fulfilled unless you say Vidui. And in the Yadim, in the text itself, he says like this: Kol mitzvah shebetoro benos benaseh ben loyis, etc., etc., etc. Kesheyase tshuve veyoshuv mechetoi chayev lisvadois. It's 100% clear. Doesn't say chayev loshu. Kesheyoshuv chayev lisvadois. So you see clearly that the chiyuv is the lisvadois. Vidui ze mitzvah sasei keitzad misvadim. What is vidui? Remember, vidui contains the mitzvah of tshuva. What is vidui? So it says like this: Ono Hashem chotosi ovisi poshati lefonecho veosisi kach vekach. This is hakora sachem. Before I can do tshuva, I have to recognize that I did something wrong. If I am blind and I don't realize that I'm doing something wrong, you can say vidui, you can say tshuva. So the first step in the process of vidui is hakora sachet, recognizing that I sin. Veharei nichamti uboishti, that is harote, the feeling, the pain, the inner pain caused by my sin. This is crucial in vidui, that inner feeling of I really feel badly that I did it. Yitshayach, for instance, that a person committed a sin and then he decides to change his path, but it doesn't hurt him. He recognizes that it's wrong. He stole. Then he decides, he becomes a Bal Tshuva Meiro. We won't, probably won't have time to talk about it. And he decides it's not kedai to be a cheater because you may end up in jail. From now on, I'll be honest. But he's not in inner pain. He doesn't go through inner pain because he committed the sin. It's just that it's not worthwhile, so I'll change the path. So according to the Rambam, you are not mekayem the mitzvah of vidui. The mitzvah of vidui requires nichamti, which is it like harote uboishti masai. And the third ingredient is ule oilom eini choizer ledovor ze vezehu ikroi shel vidui. So there are three parts in the mitzvah of vidui: hakora sachei, chotos yevisu poshati v'osisi kach v'kach. Two, your inner feelings, nichamti uboishti, and three, kabole aleosid, I'll never do it again. This is how the Rambam describes the mitzvah of vidui. However, you remember the loshin aziva sachet? When the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Tshuva describes what tshuva is, it's interesting. I was just reading to you what vidui is, right? Tshuva contains, vidui has within it tshuva, right? But when he describes in the second perek what tshuva is, not what vidui is, what tshuva is, he starts Eizu tshuva gmura, and he goes on what tshuva gmura is. Uma, and he gives the example, the famous example. What is tshuva gmura? Uma hi hatshuva, and what is the essence of tshuva? Right, in perek beis aloche aleph, he just talks about ezui tshuva gmura. What will be a case of tshuva gmura? Right, you go back to the same circumstances and you don't repeat the sin. That is tshuva gmura. Uma hi hatshuva, and what is the tshuva? I just gave you the case of tshuva, but what is the tshuva that you are supposed to do in that case? Three things: sheyazoiv hachoite chetoi, aziva sachet. Very unclear what aziva sachet is.
This is in base.
What I read to you before is in aleph aleph. Aziva Sachet Veyasiru Mimachshavtoi, removing the hate from your thoughts. Clearly in the Rambam those are two different things. Aziva Sachet is not the same thing as removing it from your thoughts, as I'll show you clear from the Rambam later on. And the third is Veyigmor Beliboy Shelo Yaseyu Oy, never to do it again. The only part which is familiar to us from Perek Aleph is the third one. Aziva Sachet is not clear which part of what he describes in Perek Aleph is Aziva Sachet.
Removing it from the thoughts, the Ram thereby means that. Oh, one second, I'm not quite sure. Does that mean that you won't do it again? Or does that mean that you the case that you did it, you
wait a second. Are you on which one of the three Lashonis of the Rambam here?
The middle one,
the Yasir Mimachshavtoi, doesn't say anything about doing it again or not. The Yasir Mimachshavtoi. Don't think about it.
You did a chet once, just forget about it, you ever did it. Is that what he means? Forget you ever did it.
I don't know. We'll see right away. So what else does it? What can it mean? Let's think of alternatives. What is Aziva Sachet? Let's talk about the first lotion. Aziva Sachet. Let me just finish this Ramba. Shenema. How do I know these three steps? Because of the posuk. Yazoiv Rosho Darkoi. That's Aziva Sachet. Vish Oven Machshavoisov. That's Hasorom Mimachshove. Vyoshove Lashem Virachameyu. That is, I'll never do it again. So v'yoshev el Hashem v'rachameyu, that is, I'll never do it again. So what are the first two? What is Aziva Sachet? Isn't Aziva Sachet I'll never do it again? No. According to the Rambam, Aziva Sachet is an attitude. It's not the decision never to do it again. That is called Kabbalah, that he'll never do it again. Aziva Sachet is, you must change your attitude towards the chet. Either through making dorim, right? Again, I don't know if we'll have time to talk about making dorim, then never to come back to the same situation. That's called Aziva Sachet, right? If you have something within your house that causes you sins, throw it out. That is Aziva Sachet. Second, even though physically you have abandoned the sin, it still may be affecting your mind. Even that, meaning make sure that it doesn't affect your mind, that the thoughts are not going to bother you. And the third is the decision. So all these three ingredients are part of what when he describes vidui. I just want to see the parallel here. Remember, he's describing two things, vidui, and here he's describing mahi tshuva. Before he said zehu ikroi shel vidui, and here he says mahi tshuva. So, I mean, till now we always thought vidui tshuva. I mean, hainu ach. Yeah.
Just to clarify, when it's in the second section of this thing, which is under tshuva, he says make sure that your thoughts don't affect you. My thoughts about the chayt don't affect you. I mean, we said with regards to the change of attitude, you can do positive things by making the dori.
That's Yazov.
Right. How do you do positive things inside your thoughts?
Oh, yes, so the Rambam, that the Rambam talks about in a few places, how the only thing that can cure it is Machsheves HaTorah. That the Rambam says that the only way that you can remove a thought is by occupying your thought with other things. Right? That's a Rambam Shita, that she'ein machshovos elu elo, somebody who is bottle mina toiret. That's a Rambam Shita. He doesn't explain it here in Nichos Tshuvah, but that is the Rambam Shita. So, if I were to ask you, within his definition of vidui, where do we fit in the three steps? Remember, Aziva Sachet, Hasoro Machshove, in Yigmor Beliboy, right? Where would you fit it all the three in his definition of vidui? You can't say that vidui doesn't contain that, contain it, because vidui is the totality of the mitzvah. Tshuva is one part of it. So where is it in the definition of vidui, the three parts, aziva sachei, yazoi brosho darkoi? What do you think? What's your guess? What's your guess? I'll read again the ikra shel vidui. I have to recognize that I sinned. I feel badly. And I'm a kabel, never ule oilom, eini choizer le dovor ze. In which of these three steps are the next three steps? You know where? In the last step. Which means like this. Yazoiv rosho darkoi is one of the methods of le'oilom eini choizer le'dobor zeh. You have to, if you are still going in the same path, right, what are your chances? Or hasoro mimachshove. Hasoro mimachshove comes after I recognize the sin, like you said before. Does that mean I sinned, I won't think about it? Of course not. We are not talking about the thought that focuses on my sin. That thought is necessary for the first step. That thought is necessary for the second step in vidui, which is I should feel badly. Nichamti uboishti. Obviously, what he is describing, right, in Perek Beis, are the three steps which are all contained in never to do it again. Never to do it again involves three things. Physical abandonment of the sin, yazoiv rosho darko, you have to change your the street that you walk through, right? Second of all, your mind. Third of all, your willpower. That is all included in le'oilom eini choizer. Do you hear this? How else are you going to do it? I mean, you have to fit it somehow. True. But listen to what comes out according to this. First of all, it clarifies the Gemara in Kedushin. When the Gemara in Kedushin says, "Hareyat mekudeshesli al menashe ani tzadik gomur," that the Gemara says, "Choyshishin li Kedushin." Why choyshishin li Kedushin? Shemo hirer tshuva beliboy. Right? What does it mean? Shemo hirer tshuva beliboy. He said vidui. I mean, he didn't say vidu, he just married her. We know a second before he was a Rosh Gomur. A second before we knew him as a Rosh Gomur. Right? He didn't say vidu because we were there, we listened to what he says. He only said, Areat mekudeshesli al menashe ani tzadik gomur. That's all he said. Where is his vidu? His vidu wasn't there. But you know what might have been there in a split second? His decision, I'll never ever do anything wrong again. That is sufficient for tshuva. Because it has in it, aziva sachei. I said even stronger, a person who gets married, it's very shayach that he wants to start like a new life, right? It could be that that itself is an aziva sachei. That could be a asora mimachshove, and that could be a decision never to do it again. Meaning it fits in. It's not stam a wild thought that we have. It's more than just a wild thought. We have some kind of a smack. I'm not telling you as the real pshat in the Gemara that that's the reason why we are choyshet, because the halacha lemaaseh and afkemine could be, what about if I do something else, almenas? I'm selling you the table, almenas shani tzadik gomur. I don't know. I mean, halacha lemaaseh, we don't make a differentiation between in kedushin and other kinyonim, but
in the
what? I'm saying it. It could be. That's what I'm telling. Not la halochet.
Why is it necessary that these three categories of tshuva fit somewhere into what we said about vidui?
Because if not, right, then you don't have vidui as the overall mitzvah. Remember, the Rambam starts. Vidui is everything.
He says that.
He starts that when a person does tshuva, the chiyuv is vidui. Now, what the Torah demands from you is vidui. That's what the Torah demands from you. Now, within vidui. Okay, I mean that's a point. But the point is that since tshuva is the essential part of vidui, so we call it a tshuva. But the mitzvah is called vidui, not tshuva. The mitzvah is not called tshuva. I mean, in the Loshon Rambam it's clear like this. So, point is like this. You know, there is a famous question I heard of Shem Rabbi Saul Salanter. I saw it in a lot of forum. Why does Rosh Hashanah come before Yom Kippur? Famous question. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. Yom Kippur is the Yom Kaporet, Slicho VeKaporet. What makes sense? Moshe Lemoadovor Doime, you come in front of a judge and you want a good decision, a good judgment. What should you do first? Atone? Show him that you feel badly? Show him that you regret everything you did? And then ask him for his decision? Or the other way around? First ask him for his decision and then tell him how badly you feel. Have a Oimer, what would you have said? That first you have to atone and then you have to ask him for the decision. Let Yom Kippur be before your Shishono. Famous Kash. So there are all kinds of terutzim. Either because take true, Rosh Yom Kippur is not for everybody. Take enochinami. Yom Kippur is only somebody who had the decision is take besofek, right? That's one of the two roots. Take for a tzaddik, gomur in a Rosh Gomur, everything is finished in Rosh Hashanah, then you don't need Yom Kippur at all for it. Eloma for a beinoni. So for a beinoni, so even his din is postponed. So all kinds of terutim of that kind. But in reality, you see something else. You know, it's interesting. You know that we have a pikabole every month, a Yom Hadin. We have every day a Yom Hadin, but we have every month a Yom Hadin. When is the Yom Hadin? The day before Rosh Chodesh, Sof HaChodesh. That makes a lot of sense. Because when does it make sense to have a Yom Hadin or a Yom Kapore, a day of introspection? At the end of the period that you are introspecting, that you are analyzing. So when should Rosh Hashanah really be? Sof Hashanah, not Rosh Hashanah. Why is Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah should be Sof Hashanah. Point is like this. The idea is that if we are going to really analyze the three steps that he describes as the three steps of vidui, recognizing the sin, feeling badly about the sin, changing your ways for the future, that for the future you should be a new person. Which one is the essential part? No shyly about it. The last part is the essential part. And very, very often, and that's why I'm telling you that this yesoid is a yesoid in chinuch. I've had 25 years of teaching, and one of the biggest problems, you have a student, right? And you know that, I mean, even, you know, scientists say that we only use a small percentage of our potential. But as a teacher, I see it. I mean, I don't need any proofs from any scientists. I see it. I mean, you know, it's no such a thing. This is how much he can do and no more. I mean, it's not true. Every average kid has moments that could be even brilliant. I mean, through the years, by now I'm not shocked anymore, because I mean, you see clearly, I mean, nobody uses his full potential. I mean, there is a hidden goyen into each one, each average person. I mean, it's incredible what they can come up once in a while. So if they can come up once in a lifetime, why can't they come up five times in a lifetime, or 1,000 times in a lifetime, or maybe every day? Because obviously they didn't work on it, they didn't stress it. But it's clear that there is no such a thing as a mold. This is where you fit, and you can't fit anywhere. It's only somebody who is who is a warped concept about human beings. You see it, teaching. What's the biggest problem? The biggest problem to make him produce is his image about himself, because he is convinced that he can't go any further. This is what I am. I mean, don't even try. I mean, it's silly. I mean, I know what I am. You know that his past enchains him. He's a slave to his past. Same thing. I mean, you want to make somebody prove. And he says, oh, come on, I'm going to change. Or let's say you want to stop talking Lashon Hara, or something that you are used to doing all your life. And you say to yourself, oh, who am I kidding? Okay, I'll go through the, you know, the Al Chetzekot on Lefonecho. Sure, I mean, I know the day after Yom Kippur. I mean, it's a joke.
You know, I know myself well enough. It never works, so it's going to work now.
That feeling, it never works, so why should it work now? It's a sakone. That's the real sotan. The biggest koyach of the sotan is that feeling of, before you decide where to go, keep looking back. See yourself in the past, and then you'll know what you are going to be. Comes Rosh Hashanah, and the Chachomim realized from the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is, don't look back. Don't look back. You said Sliches. Fine. On Rosh Hashanah, that's not the Avoidas Hayoim. The Avoidas Hayoim is look forward. Don't look backwards. Because if you look backwards, that's where the Sotan comes in. He'll laugh at you. All you need is the Sotan to smile at you and say, I know you, come on. And that's it. And your hands are tied. So on Rosh Hashanah, what you are supposed to do is create an image of yourself, how you would like to be, without taking in consideration how you are or how you were.
That's the reason why Rosh Hashanah is on the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's a new year, it's a new life, it's not the end of the year. It's not the day of introspection about how I was. It's the day of judgment about how I want to be. Rosh Hashanah from now on. How do I picture myself? As a Jew who doesn't talk Lashon Hara, as a Jew who doesn't cheat, as a Jew who doesn't lie. This is the way. I'm talking about your Torah image. You, everybody has an image of about himself, whether consciously or he's not aware of it. Everybody has an image of what he's going to be like or what he would like to be like in the next year. So concentrate on this. One day of the year become impractical. Don't be pragmatic. Don't let pragmatism tell you, but I know myself. It's not true. The mice say you don't know yourself. But forget about it. Rosh Hashanah, the Avoidas Hayoim is don't look back. Look only ahead. And once you hear it, then...
Say vidui.
Because vidui, not tshuva. Tshuva, of course you do. Because tshuva means hare ani tzadik gomur. That's what it means. That from now on, I am going to be such a person and such a person and such a person without looking back. In other words, don't say vidui. Do real tshuva, the essence of tshuva, without vidui, without looking back. Eloma. Eloma. So you make the decision. Next year, 15 hours a day of learning, and you make yourself a tremendous image about yourself. The day after Rosh Hashanah, you start looking back and you start saying, but how do I fit what I really am? I mean, you have to become realistic. How do I fit what I really am that it should fit to the image of what I should be? How do I fit it in? Oh, for that you have the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, to work on your flaws, that they shouldn't be an impediment, they shouldn't be a barrier, or to close the gap between you of the past year or to the you of the next year. That is the job. Tzadik Gomur, his past is no contradiction to this future. So if there is no gap, does he need the Aseres Yimei Tshuva? The whole purpose of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva is to close the gap between the real you and your ideal you. Tzadik Gomur doesn't need it. Who else doesn't need it? The Rosh Gomur, his image about himself for the next year, and that's what makes him into a Rosh, is exactly what he has been doing all along. There is no gap. He doesn't need the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So Nechtam Hadin, when? Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't need Aseres Yimei Tshuva any Yom Kippur.
The only problem is, I'm sure the Tzadik Gomur, he is a Tzadik Gomur, and he will check and probably find all sorts of things.
Fine, but he has no problem getting his past to the level of his future. He's at Tzadik Gomor. At Tzadik, I said what, you know,
himself in his own eyes.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because he has such a control of himself. Did you ever see the
the definition of Tzadik Gomor in the Tanya. We're not talking about you know, this is a very important definition, the Tanya of a Tzadik Gomor. Beinonim is anybody who has to fight against his Yetzer Hara. If you have to fight against him, if you have to struggle, you are Beinonim. A Tzadik is someone at the level that he doesn't have to fight his Yetzer Hara.
It's very, very
shere. Yeah, it's a very shere.
He doesn't have to fight anyone.
His Bechire is only how to shape, right, his Tzidkes. That's all. Not in the struggle against the Yetzer Hara. I mean, that's the shittas of the shittah of the Palatanya, that you are born at tzaddik. It's an incredible shittah. He says, obviously, we are Beinonim. Everybody's up. If you struggle, if you have an inner struggle, you know that you are a Beinonim. But there's such a thing as a Rosh Gomor, a person who doesn't struggle. He is the Yetzer Hara. Esav didn't have to struggle. It's only he struggles within the realms, within the frame of what Hashem gave him, but he's born a Rosh. It's an incredible shita, but it's a very important shita. So if we take that shita, that Tzadik Gomor means that, so of course the moment he decides, the question is, will he decide exactly according to his level? But once he decides, he has no problem with his past, neither does a Rosh. He has no problem with his past. He is in complete control of his behavior. His habits never control him. He's in control of his behavior. That's a tzaddik. That's what defines a tzaddik. A man in complete control of his behavior. The problem is he deciding to use that control in the right way? That's what makes him a greater tzaddik or a smaller tzaddik. So, according to, you know, this is a midrash. I think that the words of the midrash, mamish, tell you this idea. It's like the Ledovik Hashem Oiri V'yishi, says the Midrash. Oiri Hashem Oiri Zerosh Hashana V'yishi Zeyom Kippur. So far, very nice. But what is the essence of this statement? Oiri Zerosh Hashana. The word Oir is always a symbol of looking forward, right? Milfonai Uriel, you know, the four malochim that are supposed to surround the person. Mimini Michoel, Michoel is a koyach emuno, Mismoile Gabriel, the Gvuro. Milfonai Uriel, Uriel is the koyach oir, right? Umiachorai Refoil, you know about why your Refoil is in the back? Because sicknesses are always traitors. They always attack you when you are not looking. They always attack you from the back. So Refoil is always in the back. But who is supposed to be Uriel? Where is supposed to be Uriel? Or is supposed to be a front. It's always a front. Right? Yeah?
Just going to say in Yudzidat's chat in Hashkiveinu that Yitzir Sotan Milfaneinu Kumiachareinu.
So sure. Sure. Of course. That's the or, right? That was the sotan against the or. That's the, in reality, the Uriel is the koyach hatoyer. By the way, Uriel is a koyach hatoyer. By the way, you know the three malochim according to the midrash. Who were the three malochim that came to Avram Avinu?
Refoil,
Gabriel, and Michoel. Gabriel to destroy Sodom. Michoel to tell Avram that Yitzchok is going to be born. You know why? Because Michoel, what does it mean? Michoel.
Like that.
Which means emune, koyach habitochen. So he is the one that has to tell Avram in sorrow that Yitzchok is going to be born. That's the koyach emune. The destruction of Sdoim, obviously, is what? Gabriel, right? And the curing of Avram Avinu, and the saving of Lloyd that he shouldn't be affected by the destruction has to be Refoil. This is the real pshat in that. Why did he send three? Because Ein Malache Chodoyse Shtei Shlichois. So everybody asks. So how can the same Malach that cured Avram Avinu save Lloyd? No. You know what it means that one Malach can do two things. One Malach can do two type of things. You know, it's
Michoel can destroy can destroy Sdoim. That's what it means.
I just get it.
Right. But so why was Uriel missing? Uriel was missing because before Matan Torah, the koyach of Uriel is the Torah. Because what's Torah? Torah Oyer. Because if we are blind without Torah, we don't know where to walk. That's the koyach of Uriel. So what does it mean? Rosh Hashanah is Or. Or is always. In other words, if you have a flashlight, you don't shine it backwards. If you have a flashlight, you shine it forward. You right? You shine it forward. So Rosh Hashanah is Or because the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to look forward. But looking forward, that's easy to say. I'm going to flash the light up in front of me, and I'm going to walk straight. What about all your flaws? What about the fact that you are hurting all over? I need support, right? I need Yom Kippur. That is Yishi. That is the support. That is my cane. I need a cane to walk through the path of the, of course, that I need Yom Kippur. So this is Pshat. Hashem Oyri Ze Rosh Hashanah, because the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is the Or, to shine your path. What does it mean? To plan the path for the next year. That's what it means. And Yom Kippur is to recognize my flaws. I need the canes. Well, Yom Kippur is your cane. It's mamish pshat in the Midrash, right? This idea of Rosh Hashanah, you have to look forward. Okay? So, this is the basically the idea. And this taka the pshat, why, when he talks about the mahi hatshuve, all the three things fit into the idea of how to change, not how to rectify the past. Rectifying the past in the that I have to feel badly, because even later on, when he goes on to say umay yatshuve, that you need three things: yazoiv rosho darkoi vishove machshove isov v'yoshev Hashem v'rachameyu. Right, the three things. Then he adds v'chein yisnachei mal sheovar. V'chein, here, after he tells you what the essence of tshuva is, which is yazoiv darkoi and yazoiv and meiser memachshove and kabole aleosid, he says v'chein, and an added thing is you have to feel badly yisnochim al sheovar shenemar ki acharei shuvi nichamti. Wait a second, do you hear clearly what the Rambam says? Acharei shuvi nichamti. Didn't he say before that the essence of vidui is recognizing the sin, feeling badly, and then kabbalah leosi? So what does it mean? He's bringing a raya that v'chein also, which is secondary, you have to feel badly. Yeah. What do you mean? Feeling badly is an essential part of the vidui. Of the vidui it is, but not of tshuva. The essence of tshuva is the third part of vidui. You follow what I'm saying? Vidui is three parts: hakor asachei, feeling badly, and kabol aleosi. Tshuva, what he describes as the three steps of tshuva: azivo, hasoro mimachshove, and kabole, are all parts of the third step of vidui. Do you hear the chidush? And here is a klora raya. Because it says v'chein, added to tshuva, you also have to feel badly. What do you mean? It's an added thing to tshuva. If vidui and tshuva are synonymous, right? What are you telling me that this is an added thing to tshuva? Well, this is tshuva. What do you mean? You just described tshuva in chapter one. It just doesn't make sense.
It's the wrong way around.
What? What do you mean?
He should feel bad, and then he should do.
So if this is so, first of all, the loshen v'chein is difficult, right? And then the raya from the posuk is difficult because it says first you have to do tshuva, which is aziva sachet hasore and in kabole v'chein. Mashma, that chronologically is telling you v'chein.
We had nechomti though in the first step.
Wait a second. V'achar, was the raya that you need nechome, that you have to feel badly? Shenema ki acharei shuvi nechamti. Let's analyze the posuk. Acharei shuvi nechamti? Let's go back. Didn't you say that this is the order of things in vidui? Recognizing the sin, feeling badly, and then kabbalah leosi. He's describing priorities. You know what is the most important thing? Kabole ale osi, Rosh Hashanah. This is Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Rambam is describing the essence of Rosh Hashanah. Acharei shuvim nichamti. The nichamti, leave it for Aseret Yemei Teshuva, leave it for after Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the shuvi. Acharei shuvi, you can have nechome, you can feel badly, all Aseret, the rest of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Not on Rosh Hashanah. Don't feel badly about your past, because if you feel badly about your past, you know what it might do to you. It might make you a slave, that you won't be able to make a decision about the future. Yeah. No. I'm adding it. That this idea that the Rambam brings down, that Shuvi is independent from Nichamti, and it's only acharei shuvi nechamti, and in the Loshon HaRambam v'chein yisnachem aleovar, which means it's like a secondary thing, he's describing Rosh Hashanah. I'm not saying that he means Rosh Hashanah. I mean, those words describe what I want to say in Rosh Hashanah. This is the essence of Rosh Hashanah. Shuvi, that is the essence of Rosh Hashanah. Nechamti, that's later on. Yeah.
According to this, why do we say Ovinu Malkeinu Kaseidah on Rosh Hashanah?
Oh. So says the Mishneh Brure. So why do we say it? Says the Mishneh Brure, we say it ubefirush hamazor mefarish ovinu malkeinu chotono lefonecho chas v'sholem. Don't have in mind your sins, right? It may bother your tshuva if you think about your sins. So what you meant to mean something? Keloimar avoiseinu chotu. Blame them, not yourself. Chas v'sholem. Avoiseinu chotu sheovdu avoidas gilulim ve'onu tzichim lisvados aleihem because v'svadu v'savoinu v'savoinu avoisom. It's okay. Vidui for our forefathers, that's okay. As long as you blame them, don't blame yourself. You hear what the Mishneh Brura says? Ve'onu ein lonu melech elo'oto. All we are saying is ein lonu melech elo'oto. We don't take blame for anything on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't think about blame. You hear to what extent the Mishneh Brura has to go to justify saying Avinu Malkeinu Chotono Lefonecho Chas V'Sholem. Don't say it and think about yourself. Do you hear the extent of that?
I'm saying in a similar vein, I saw in the name of Gershon Ben Soloveitchik an explanation of the expression Vidui Maiser had in Parashat. That the Torah is not any kind of a vidui at all. It's more of it's like a donor being toasted at a banquet.
It's true.
So you see, the pshat is that it's necessary before a person can embark on a meaningful tshuva, he has to first recognize his good points. If a person is only overawed by his shortcomings, so he'll never begin the path towards tshuva, towards self-improvement. So that it's really part of the tshuva. It's the first step in the tshuva phenomenon. The person first has to recognize his accomplishments and delineate where he needs to improve and where his successes are, and then from there he can continue. It's like the
in other words, it's the vidu before tshuva. In other words, the vidu of the Rambam is the vidu after tshuva. But he says that there is even a vidu before tshuva.
Psychologically, a person can. I mean, it's the same behavioral. Humanistic psychologists have the same approach. That
stress the positive, you mean.
Right, that's right. Because that's the only way a person can get out of a feeling of ineptitude. Sure. Is only by recognizing his inherent qualities and his inherent potential.
Exactly. I mean, if your people are going to be in chinuch, it's crucial. You can't pay attention. I mean, you have to recognize that the past of the child is an impediment, of course, but that shapes his future.
ridiculous. Why don't you not allowed to think about it that way?
The Yesoda Tshuva of the Ben Yona is like mamish that. The Ben Yona in his Yesoda Tshuva says, forget about the past. He says, don't even think about the past. Just the future.
He says mamish in this lesson. Yeah. So it's interesting because the point is that even though, right, this is the what the Rambam calls tshuva, right, but you still have the obligation, the Torah obligation of vidui, right. Now it's even after you do tshuva, acharei shuvi, but I still have a chiyuv of nichamti. And in order to be nichamti, I have to have a koras achet, which means there is a step you climb. Probably that's what Rabbi Yehuda means. In other words, there is one step, which is forget about the past. Once you establish your future, then rectify the past. There are drachim to rectify the past, right? But the attitude has to be a very optimistic attitude about yourself. Any questions? I didn't tell you more now, but it's Zora, which is not Gia, but all right.
Is it the Gemara in Kedushin and Kasha on the door of the Tanya and the Tzadik Gong?
No, because it's a matter of semantics. I mean, he admits that, according to the Tanya, that very often the word Tzadik Gomor is used just of what do you call somebody's roiv, right? But tzaddik in this area. But he's talking mashbino isoi. He's talking about the Gemara. It says mashbino isoi tia tzaddik al tia roshe.
See you.
With your.